Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello, and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Dori Shafrir.
I'm Kate Spencer.
And we are not experts.
We're just two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
Welcome to 2020, Kate.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
Me too.
It's a fresh decade.
Yeah.
It's the start of a new decade, correct? It's not technically the end of an old one.
Our friend and... G-Thanks just bought it. Host Caroline Moss was debating this on Twitter the other day.
And what did they decide?
They were basically told that it's the start of a new decade.
Okay, so here we go. It's a fresh start.
Fresh start.
New things to come.
New things.
Yeah. Or old things will become new again.
Oh, I like that.
Let's all start using VCRs again.
No. But just a quick reminder for your new year. We have some merch.
We do.
Yeah.
It's real fun.
You can jump into the new year with a Intenchi sticker.
Sweatshirt. Leggings.
Reframe the Narratives t-shirt.
A tote.
Yeah, a tote.
You want to tote things around?
Yeah. There's a lot of great stuff in there. A drawstring bag. Yeah.
You know, everyone needs a gym stuff. Drawstring brag.
Yeah.
Drawstring. I can't. Dory, it's 2020 and I still am stumbling over words. A drawstring bag.
Yes, indeed.
Forever35merch.com.
Yeah. And everything we mention on the show is always on our website, forever35podcast.com. So we thought for this first new episode of 2020, because last week we did a replay.
That's right.
We would talk about our 2020 intentions, kind of what we're hoping for the new year.
And I was actually thinking about this before we gathered today to podcast, which was like, I love setting intentions. I do not like the word resolutions. Now, if that's your thing, awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, anything goes here.
Sure.
But something about the idea of intending to do something as opposed to a resolution. I don't know, just works for me a little bit better.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Because as you know, listener, if you're new here, you might not know this, but we welcome you and we will tell you. We don't always nail our intentions.
No, I'd say we have like a 50% completion rate.
And we love it.
Yeah, it's
so
fine.
These are just things individually that we're considering.
Yeah, that we're just kind of putting out there into the universe.
We're stewing on them. Just making them into a warm winter stew.
Yum.
And we would love to know kind of where your intentions are for this year. If you even set them, maybe you go into the new year and what frees you up is not setting a single intention.
Great.
Well, shall we start?
Yeah. I love this intention that you have of enjoying movement that is freeing and liberating.
I don't quite know what that means yet.
Does it mean like dance?
I think it just means having a different perspective on exercise and movement, because I've always thought about it in terms of like, what are the results of this going to be? I mean, even here on this podcast, I was like, I'm going to get ripped. And then that led me off on a very different journey rather than like, what does it feel like? And how does it make me feel? Like, I love the feeling of swimming, which we're going to get to on your list on your intention later this week. But I love the feeling of like, I have riding horses on my list. I grew up riding horses. I love that.
You're a horse girl.
I was, and dare I say, still am a horse girl. I love a horse. We want to start 2020 with a declaration of I love a horse, but I do. I love horses. And I love riding. I love being around them. I love like cleaning up their poop. I love everything.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
A horse girl through and through.
Once a horse girl, always a horse girl.
I mean, a horse person, you know, there's a horse, whatever.
Yeah.
Once you go horse, you don't like, that's it.
Wow.
I don't know. I think if you're a horse person, Sammy's laughing over there, but if you're a horse person, you always are a horse person.
I just can't relate to this.
You were never a horse person?
I was not a horse person. It was not in my like DNA to be a horse person.
See, my mom was a horse person.
Yeah. So it was like literally in your DNA.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. When she and my dad made me,
yep.
She gave me that horse gene.
Yeah. Like I knew like one person who was into horses. It was not like part of my milieu, if you will.
I will, and I do. I mean, I went to horseback riding camp.
You really did it.
I love horses, and being around them is very soothing for me. And I love, like, energetically, I like being around a horse. Just love a horse.
Okay.
But yeah, so I'm trying to kind of think more about movement in terms of like how it makes my body feel good. Like I've been getting back to Pilates in terms of healing my old tennis elbow and my tilted pelvis that's always wobbly. So yeah, rethinking movement for me. There we go. That's my number two.
Great.
Dory?
Yeah.
Practice radical kindness?
Yeah.
Get into this with me here.
So
Dory's list.
This is my list. I was thinking that in 2019, I feel like empathy was a big theme for me.
And as we've been talking about on recent episodes and many episodes.
Yes. Yeah. And now I'm thinking going into 2020 that I want kindness to be a theme for me. Because kindness has never been a trait that I've like thought of as a defining trait. I think I'm like generally a kind person, but I also have never been like, I'm defined by my kindness. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so I've just been like, oh, this is a thing that I think I want to kind of explore a little bit more.
And do you have thoughts on how it will be executed or how the kindness actually exists in a tangible way? Like, what does it look like to you?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that yet. Maybe it means like being a better friend. Maybe it means like being more supportive of people, even strangers. And I mean, I think kindness is sort of wrapped up with empathy. So it's not a shock that I would want to explore this more now that I've been doing all this empathy work.
I think that's really great.
Well, thanks, Kate. I mean, I think you are a radically kind person.
That's very nice.
You are. You're much kinder than I am.
I don't think that's true.
No, I do. You are.
Okay. I mean, I will just accept it. I will not try to people please my way out of the situation. It's very hard for me to accept a compliment. But thank you, Dory.
You are welcome.
I appreciate that you see me.
So you want to continue breaking your social media addiction.
Oh, F me. It's so hard. I am so addicted to social media. I am not getting into Instagram right now. And like, I think about it every day.
See, this is so interesting to me because I feel like I like look at social media a lot. Especially Instagram and Facebook. Facebook I was off of for a long time, but then I got into like a lot of Facebook groups. Mm-hmm. And I do enjoy those and I feel like I make connections with people. And I'm not on Twitter that much. Like I check in on Twitter, but I feel like, I don't know. I like social media.
I don't dislike it. I enjoy it, I think, too much. I find
like... And you think that it's like detrimental to the rest of your life.
Yes, I do. Okay. I actually really, really do. I've noticed in cutting out... So can I give you my current social media setup?
Yes.
No Instagram, period. Twitter, I look at like political commentators on Twitter. I allow myself... I have a blocker on it right now on my phone. So at 7 p.m., I can check it in the morning before 7 a.m. And then on weekends, I can see it.
Okay.
Facebook, not on my phone, can check it on my computer. That's my current setup.
And how do you feel about this?
It's so much healthier and better for me mentally.
Great.
My phone usage has gone down because I can track it on my iPhone. yesterday, for example, I was on a plane with wireless for 6 hours flying across the country. I read an entire book on the flight instead of just scrolling, which is what I would have just scrolled.
Yep.
And having those boundaries, even though I still can kind of have access to almost all those things, has really been, I can feel myself getting more done.
That's awesome.
Easier for me to focus. But, you know, I don't like missing out on things on Instagram. And I also, the urge to constantly post things, like I went to Boston for the weekend and I wanted to, I just kept thinking of things to Instagram or I wanted things I wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And not having that outlet was very interesting. I don't know if it's good or bad. Yeah, I don't think social media enhances the quality of my life. I think it does more to mess with my life than it does to enhance it.
Okay.
So that's where I'm at. I'm looking at your list again. Make your home more pleasant and homey, but also maybe move. You could make the new home pleasant and homey.
I could. Yeah. I feel like we've really outgrown our house. And
I can see that.
For the last few months, we were thinking about trying to buy a house. And I just don't realistically think that that's going to happen in the next, definitely not in the next few months. Probably not in the next year. I mean, you just need so much money here in Los Angeles, and we just don't have it. And so, and I'd been resisting moving to another rental for a long time because I was just like, what is the point? Like, we're going to spend so much money to move. It'll be more expensive. Shouldn't we be using that money towards buying a place? And now I'm just like, I don't think we're going to be able to, and I need to get out of this house. I don't hate it, but I'm also like,
we need more room.
We need more space. And I acknowledge that I'm lucky and privileged to be able to even consider moving to a larger space, but that's where we are.
I look forward to it. You're a good decorator.
Thanks. But I feel like I've been like, I don't know. I feel like this house has like sucked all the joy of decorating out of me. And we just have so much stuff. And like, no matter how many times we like declutter it, we just, and especially now with Henry, there's just so much stuff everywhere that like the thought of decorating, I'm like, how would I decorate? Like, there's no room to decorate, you know?
Do you have a storage space? Like an actual like monthly rental storage
unit? No,
we
have the shed.
But would you ever get a storage space?
We talked about this and we decided that anything that we would put in a storage space is something that we don't actually need.
Mm.
And storage is expensive.
Mm-hmm. We had one in New York and it was like having a tiny apartment.
Yeah. So we were like, that's pointless. Like, we just need to get rid of more stuff. This has been an ongoing theme, kind of like your social media stuff.
Yeah. These are our ongoing,
ongoing themes. But I'm like trying to wrap my head around the idea of moving to another rental. So I don't know. I'm like, do I go through the effort to make my current home more pleasant, or do we just decide we're going to move?
I don't know. I mean, I wish I could make that decision for you. My vote would be for you to move.
Let's talk about your hobbies.
I mean, we just blast through this one. Look, I want to have like some fun hobbies.
Yeah.
I don't have a hobby.
Yeah.
And I can't, it's very hard for me to do something without being like, why don't I turn this into an Etsy store or something? Like, what?
Totally.
I don't know why I can't just do something to enjoy it.
Someone asked me recently what I do in my spare time. And I was like, read,
which is, you know what? That's enough.
Yeah. But I don't have like a hobby. I've tried to have hobbies.
I guess I have too. Like, I wish I painted or something. I don't even know. Totally. Like, I've always wanted to take a ceramics class.
I tried that. It was horrible.
No. Yeah. I mean, like, what? What's my hobby?
Yeah.
I guess my hobby is this podcast. That's not making any sense.
No,
so this is work.
Not a hobby. This is your job, Kate.
I know. And I also like writing, but that's my other job. So yeah. I don't know. This is confusing. Maybe horses will be my hobby.
Ooh.
A hobby horse. I don't even know what a hobby horse is.
Isn't it like a rocking horse?
I think so. Yeah, there we go.
There we go.
All right, Dory.
Yes. Yeah. So I want to be more on top of my finances this year.
Another consistent
theme. And I feel like I have been more, in part because we met with a financial coach this past year, but it does just feel like I'm not as on top of them as I should be. So
it's a process. I feel like if you reflect on how far you've come.
Thank you. That is a good way of looking at it. Reframe that financial narrative.
Hey, girl.
Hey, you just helped me reframe it.
But truly, I mean, if we were a year ago or 2 years ago, as we've talked so much about this on the podcast,
we were in a lot of debt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were not as organized. You weren't working with a financial planner.
True.
You've come a long way.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, boy. Well, we kind of touched on this, but I have embraced confidence and self-respect and saying no with compassion.
No is a complete sentence.
I know you said that on a recent mini episode. I don't know. This is just my self-work. This is my inner work that I am going to be doing for the rest of my life. So just put it on the list.
Great.
Maybe therapy is my hobby. I'll run that by my therapist when I see her this week.
See what she says.
Is it cool if you're my hobby? Definitely going to say no.
So something I put on this list is that I want to see my family at least once a quarter.
I like this one. I do too. How often do you see them now?
I think it is roughly about once a quarter. Meaning I feel like I see at least someone in my family.
Someone of the Shafrir
clan
group.
Yes. Yeah. Not that I need to see everyone in my family at least once a quarter, because that would be really hard. But, you know, we live very far from people. And I do wish we could just drop by. You know, I was thinking about the Kardashians.
Oh boy.
How they're just always at each other's houses.
I know.
And all their kids are best friends. You know, it was two of Courtney's kids' birthdays recently. And
which one's Rain?
It was Rain, I think Mason's birthday. And Kim's, she was Saint and Rain are best friend. And I was say whatever you want about them. And people have a lot to say about them. But they do have a strong family bond and they all live really close to each other.
Nothing. I just love you talking about the Kardashians. This is not in character for you. And
really?
Are you a Kardashian fan?
I wouldn't say fan necessarily, but I'm fascinated by them.
I am too. And I will say, I agree. They do make time for family.
Yes.
Yes.
They are always hanging out together. And on holidays, they spend holidays together. And they're a matriarchy.
This is all true. I don't watch the show, so I don't know
if
currently Rob is on the in or on the out. I don't know the details of the Kardashians. Listeners, we can do a whole mini episode about them if you want to call in.
Listen, this just crossed my mind.
I agree. I love that. I mean, they do have the financial means to see each other and spend time together.
But they live in close proximity to each other.
They're all in Calabasas,
right? They're all in Calabasas or Hidden Hills or that whole...
These are magical neighborhoods here in Los Angeles.
That whole area, that whole region. And, you know, I don't need to live three doors down from my brother and sister or my parents, but it would be nice if we could just drop by.
I know. That's if I have grief about one thing about living far away from my family, it's that.
Yeah.
Just not being able to know each other in a more intimate way.
Yes.
You know, it's more holidays. Oh my gosh, we see you.
Totally.
Yeah.
So
I love that too. Okay. I might join that commitment.
Okay, great.
Okay. Here's my new commitment for 2020.
I love this.
I'm going from working on my confidence to commit to squalane oil and see what happens.
I mean, squalane's great.
So I've been doing a lot of thought on my skin this year.
Mm-hmm.
I also just wrote, in addition to the squalane commitment, simplify my skin stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I've been getting a lot of chin breakouts, as listeners may know. And I think it is timed with my menstruation.
Okay.
Which is actually kind of beautiful. Yeah. It's my zits alert me that my period is coming, and I thank them for that. I appreciate their service. But I also recently, whenever they come, and I immediately am got to put all the things on to burn these zits off my face. And then I was no, slow down. I'm going to take a pause. I'm just going to wash and squalane.
Okay. Well, this kind of relates to seeing family. I want to FaceTime with my friends more. My friends who don't live here. No. We can FaceTime too.
But anytime I'm there.
We do see each other a lot.
I think this is a great one. Like, period.
Yeah.
Make more time for those relationships totally. In whatever way you can.
Yeah. And then you want to do new things with the podcast, and I want to do new things with the podcast. So this was a mutual intention.
Got to put the podcast on here. I feel like we are both excited about producing content, mm-hmm. creating shows with people. It's a lot longer of a developmental process than I originally thought it would be.
Yeah. There's a lot of moving parts.
Yes, but we're excited about working with people and bringing new voices to the podcasting world.
Yeah.
So that was on both of our lists.
Yeah.
And I think just kind of do new things. We were interested in doing some sort of live shows or events. Mm-hmm. That's something that we're talking about. Also takes a lot longer to figure out. And then also, Dory, let's figure out our email.
Oh my God, yes.
It is such a mess.
It is such a mess.
2 years of this show in our inboxes.
Just a mess.
A mess. But what are your thoughts about about podcasting in 2020?
I think we're on the same page.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. Yeah.
We love podcasting.
We do.
Whoa. What are we going to do this year?
I mean, so much.
So much or none of it.
Or none of it. I hope we do some of it.
Would you like to ride a horse this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would.
Great.
Kate, I would.
Horsing around in 2020.
Oh boy.
Sorry. Sam, you want to ride a horse?
Yes.
All right. Lucy?
Team horse excursion.
I would love to do a little horseback riding trip.
Great.
Okay.
All right. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we are going to be speaking with the woman behind Chemist Confessions.
So excited for this to be our first interview of 2020.
Beyond.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now, that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones, but I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough, enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh, that sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable.
No.
With Honey Love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift, all while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups, still without the underwire, to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
Well, Dory, our guest today, it is Chemist Confessions, Gloria Liu and Victoria Fu. They are here. Hello. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
We're so excited.
We're so pumped to get into the nitty gritty of skincare.
Oh, yeah.
Before we get started, let us introduce you all to our audience. Gloria and Victoria are two formulation chemists that quickly became close friends, being cubicle buddies at a major beauty conglomerate. After a few years formulating skincare products, they saw firsthand that skincare had become really difficult to navigate and shop for. So they started an Insta blog to share their chemist perspective via transparent skincare science with some added silly cartoon doodles. And last year, they went on to launch a skincare line that embodies their mission of transparent, safe, and effective skincare. And we should note that you have a huge following. You are beloved, revered, referred to often when we yammer on about skincare.
And you are invoked.
Yes. And we're just so thrilled to have you both here to talk to us today.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Yeah, those words really
strong words.
No pressure. Yeah, we really set you up there.
I'm starting to sweat.
Before we kind of launch into the many listener questions we received for you, we would love to just kind of hear the origin story of your lives together pre-Chemist Confessions and then how you got started working together.
Yeah, so I guess I'll go first. I'm Victoria, by the way, and so they know what voice it is. I guess I had no idea I was actually going to go into the beauty industry. I studied chemical engineering in college, and my road was starting to push me towards pharma. I was doing a master's thesis in like nanomedicine. And I was looking at the career track of pharma and was realizing like, this is really not for me because pharma is high pressure, long project timelines. And it was just, I don't think ultimately I really loved that avenue. And so, luckily enough, my research was actually in acne research. So it kind of just led me to think, oh, it would be fun to work for a beauty company, specifically in skincare. And that's how I ended up actually landing a chemist position at L'Oreal. And then it kind of turned in, I mean, L'Oreal, to be honest, like I learned a lot, in terms of product development, and R&D. And I guess one thing that Gloria and I both share, and I'm sure she's going to share her side of it too, is that we just realized that all our friends and family were so lost in buying skincare products. And, you just become that go-to person that people ask, like, is this good? Is this bad? And the only way that I could end up really telling them if it was good or bad was just by, you know, going through the ingredient list. And I think that's inevitably what pushed me to be like, hey, maybe there's a way to do this better. And, you know, the ultimate track of a chemist, I realized, you know, I learned a lot, but I don't think I was going to be there for my whole career. And and then I met Gloria, and
hi.
Yeah. I'll tell her side, and we can talk about how, like, we ended up doing this whole venture or this blog, really.
Yeah. So this is Gloria. I had kind of a similar story. I also studied chemical engineering school. Unlike Victoria, I had a concentration in sustainable energy. So I always thought that I would pursue something in solar or wind or some form of sustainable energy. But it is a field that lacks a lot of funding. And lo and behold, there are no jobs to be had when I graduated. And I love the story of when I got an internship with L'Oreal first. Mm-hmm. And at the time, the only job that I had lined up was a process engineer at a paint company. So my job would literally be to watch paint dry. So when an internship came about for me to dabble in formulating lipsticks, I was like, I'll take it. I'll do it tomorrow. So that's kind of how I got started. Skincare was kind of an accident. It just happened to be the field I landed in. And just for the audience, formulation skin in cosmetics can roughly be broken down to makeup, skincare, and hair. Mm-hmm. But it turned out to be really great, and we learned a lot. I learned most of what I know through work. Before, and it's so funny now. It's not funny, but I guess a lot of our followers, when they ask us questions, mm-hmm. And just knowing that I was just on that side before I got into the industry, and seeing how these common questions it's not helped by the industry and the way it's run. And I met Victoria through work. We had many cubicle moments where I will hide in her cubicle when I don't want to go to a marketing meeting.
And vice versa.
Yeah, I literally squat there. And after a while, we realized we share kind of similar frustrations. And I guess doing chemist confessions, in the beginning, it was definitely a little bit of a event fest. We feel like the chemist voice is just kind of lost, right? There's no real chemist voice out there.
And we found that it would be helpful to hear from... we weren't actually sure it would be helpful, to be honest.
Right.
When we wrote the blog, we were like, oh, this is so technical and no idea. But at the same time, we were like, well, you know, as formulators, when you work with the ingredients, there's just that angle of knowledge that we thought could be helpful for someone when they're at least shopping for products. So I guess that's where it all started. And it's honestly taught us a lot. I'll be honest. I never had an Instagram before this Instagram. Just fascinating learning curve, I guess, in terms of social media. And Gloria had an Instagram for her cat. And that's the extent.
I'll have you know, my cat had 4,000 followers at one point.
Wait, which that's a lot. That is a lot.
It's not for anyone, let alone a cat.
Yeah.
We actually want to just start with ingredients, because I learned a ton from your Instagram just about kind of what ingredients we needed to pay attention to, but also more importantly, like the actual list of ingredients and what ingredients were actually doing anything and what were in like such small concentrations that they were essentially meaningless. One of our listeners wanted to know, how far down an ingredient list do ingredients stop being relevant?
Yeah. So I'm assuming the ingredients they're looking for is actives. Mm-hmm. And, so for us, anything that's like AHA or vitamin C, you definitely want to see it on the upper, on like the top five of the ingredient list. But then let's say, for example, retinol, 1% is literally the max amount of retinol that you can have. And so with that, you probably won't see it you'll probably see it start hanging around with the preservatives, which is the bottom of the list. So it unfortunately, it depends on the ingredient. The ones that I think for us, our stance is if, let's say the product's marketing is honed in on an ingredient and the ingredient is not retinol, and it's like some fancy
extract
active, but you see that hanging around the preservative area, that's when we would, you know, want you to like raise an eyebrow at it and be like, I don't know, you know. So it's not a straightforward answer, unfortunately, but yeah, that's our general stance.
Yeah. Also, we've said this a few times on our Instagram. We really don't like really long ingredient lists. For the ones that take out like a box and a half and run onto the other side of the box, we would say after, we would like to play the guess 1% mark game. But for those ingredient lists, you can probably assume after the 10th ingredients in there at a very, very low percentage.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
We're just getting started. can I ask a quick question? Cause this is just my own question. Cause it kind of trips me up. What is an active? It's an ingredient in the product that is actually like the change maker.
Yeah, that's probably one way to look at it. It's basically anything that is supposed to target a skin concern outside of, I would say, moisturizing.
Yeah, there's no set definition of actives. It's kind of just a word we use internally. Like Victoria said, it's anything from active ingredients that target pigmentation, acne, fine lines, and wrinkles. Mm-hmm. And basically what marketing would call claim ingredients that let them make the fancy schmancy claims.
Marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can't wait to get more into marketing. Another All right. Staying on ingredients, though, someone asked us, or asked you rather, what's your top most bang for your buck ingredient?
I think it depends. Yeah. My very not glamorous answer will be glycerin. It's
because it's in everything.
Yeah, it's what we call French red hot. We put that in everything, and it's not a glamorous ingredient, but it's a very simple humectant that just works really great as a moisturizer.
Yeah, and I think in terms of actual active, I would think niacinamide is really that one that's most bang for your buck, just because. It can target a lot of different skin concerns and plays nice with a lot of other actives. So,
From a formulator standpoint, niacinamide is the one you kind of toss it and forget it because it's just very vanilla and simple to work with.
Well, I didn't know that.
What are ingredients that you think are unfairly demonized?
Oh, we can give you a book on that.
Well, petrolatum, the whole mineral oil category, I think is one of my biggest pet peeves just because, honestly, when all else fails and skin just is not getting any more moisturized or just can't handle anything else, petrolatum really is the go-to ingredient. So the fact that there's a lot of no-no lists that include petrolatum makes me a little sad.
For me, it's a whole category of preservatives. Yeah. It started out with parabens, and it just kind of trickled into all aspects of it. And I guess that ties in with a lot of ingredients make their way onto lists for being quote-unquote sensitizers. Mm-hmm. But sensitizers, it's a difficult topic because it's like an allergen, right? It's highly personal, and it just it's dependent on concentration and all the other things. But I think a lot of times the ingredient, even if it irritates one out of a million people, it somehow gets tossed under the bus wholesale.
What about haven't there been studies that have shown that parabens are endocrine disruptors? And what do you think of those?
Yeah. So, okay. I think just the overall track record with every paper that either supports or doesn't support parabens as an endocrine disruptor, our general stance is it just needs more data. And there's nothing necessarily that has us believing that it doesn't have us believing that we should be like, oh, everything should have no parabens. But that doesn't mean that we actually, we don't tell people that are paraben conscious to be like, no, you shouldn't care about, like, that's not something you should care about. I truly believe like skincare is your own, you know, it is what you make of it, and your, whatever your opinions, your research has led to, like, that's for your whatever is working for you. That's all that matters. So,
and for us, the reality is, I think people look at people like us or other researchers, scientists, and they want science to be black and white.
Yeah.
But the reality is, science is, it's a learning process, and we're always looking at new data that's coming out.
Right.
And with endocrine disruptors, unfortunately, it's just a very gray area right now, because we are constantly learning new things about it. Mm-hmm. And because something's identified as a endocrine disruptor doesn't mean it's bad immediately, right? You have to look at the picture, like, how is it being processed? Is it getting processed by your body readily so it doesn't accumulate? Is it used at a high enough concentration to see these effects? And something, a good example that we like to point out is, say, salicylic acid. The very common acne ingredient was recently identified as a potential endocrine disruptor, but it's probably 99% not as scary as it sounds.
Right. And just even one more thing to think about. During this whole Chemist Confessions, the lifespan of this blog, we were able to meet some really great experts in the field. And one of them is a derm that's out in Denmark. Yeah. So she, after talking to her, she talks about endocrine disruptors in terms of pregnancy. And that's a field that Gloria and I absolutely will not touch, because it's just, we're not doctors. There's no point in us trying to speak on that behalf. But hearing the research that they do over there in this field, I mean, it honestly has really, you know, colored or just changed, I guess, my perspective a little bit in how we view, like, very, I guess, view these topics that are just not so, like Gloria mentioned, very gray. And so in the context of pregnancy, like, I do understand why in certain countries, like, they do consider this as something that's, yeah, definitely taken very seriously. So it's honestly, it just, do your homework. Always know that there's more to know about subjects like this.
But yeah, and our stance is also, if you are conscious about this type of issues, look at what you eat first, because a lot of it are common ingredients in processed food.
Yeah.
And somehow I feel like maybe it's because we're in this field and biased, but we feel like cosmetics get a lot more limelight when ingestibles kind
such
of
a good point.
Yeah.
A lot of these, like, parabens you'll find in even things like mouthwash. So, yeah.
Oh boy, I've never checked my mouthwash.
Well,
we totally went off tangent there. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry if we get philosophical.
No, it's
okay. You've heard enough.
No, it's really helpful, and I think we haven't. Well, I don't think we've had any scientists on the show yet. Period. And so scientists who have specialized in skincare are particularly interesting and helpful to us. And, you know, Dori and I are not experts in skincare. We're just, like, literally.
We've learned a lot over last couple of years, but we certainly don't have scientific backgrounds.
No, and I think what I found, like, with stuff like parabens is we've had listeners reach out and say, like, parabens and products are terrible, don't touch them. Or we've had listeners say, like, the whole thing about parabens is BS, they're totally fine. And where I've kind of landed is that it's like you're saying, it's up to the individual to figure out what works for them, and also, like, do the research and kind of come to their own conclusions about what they want to put on their body.
Right. Exactly.
So anyway, that's my tangent.
I fully agree.
So let's talk about kind of we got some general skincare questions, and one person kind of came in hot with, are serums a scam?
I feel like this person has some feels about serums.
Exactly. Seems like a leading question.
For us, it boils down to ingredient, right?
Yeah.
Some serums are definitely scams and some are not. And this is one of the biggest reasons why we do Decode. Because as chemists, we don't view products necessarily the same way as consumers, right? Like for us, a lot of these categories are interconnected. It's not like a serum isn't really a scientific definition of anything.
It's more of a marketing format. So consumers kind of have an idea of what it is, but to us, like we still see it as a formula.
Yeah. And a serum, because for us, we see, is it water-based? Is it an emulsion? Is it oil, water, water, and oil? And these information aren't necessarily relevant to consumers, but that's what we mean by we don't really see it like a consumer. So as far as serums go, again, it goes back down to, is the claimed ingredient backed by science? A lot of times, and also what it's advertised to do, right? So hydrating serums, most of them will probably be at least a little bit hydrating. I feel like anti-aging serums is where you get in the category that ranges from will solve a lot of problems to this really doesn't do jack crap.
Actually, I should add in one more thing. The higher the price tag, the more you should be digging into the ingredient list.
Yeah, okay. So our personal internal cutoff is anything that's above, say, 100 to 130 make us raise an eyebrow. Yeah. So for us, 100 might be pricey for a lot of people, but sometimes it depends on whether or not the brand invested money in research or clinicals and other things that may justify the price tag. But anything that gets in the realm of a PS4, we are
$400 to $500 range.
You're calling BS. Okay. Well, that's good to know because I dabbled in expensive creams this year. Nothing happened. And it was a real learning experience for me. Well, I mean, also just the idea that it could help somebody else, but I was definitely swayed and it titillated by the price tag. Like that in my brain equated better. And I know that that's not right.
I mean, and also like the product experience, like I've had a philosophical thought that even the idea of paying $400 is part of the product experience. Yes.
True. So. Yeah, no, it's so true. You're making this huge investment in this thing and it feels like an enormous deal. And it is. That's a ton of money. It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article, and I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters, and then my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs, including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. I mean, you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Here's a question, and this is one I want to know personally. Are free radicals real, and should I be buying products to fight them?
Good, great question. Free radicals are real. They are, it's been known that it has a, plays a factor in causing skin cancer. Now, the second part of your question, to be honest, the only free radical quencher that we would pay for is L-ascorbic acid. Outside of that, then Gloria and I, and sunscreen, yes. Mm-hmm. But other than that, we just, we don't have a lot. The let's just say AOX testing and proving that it can quench free radicals gets very complicated and expensive. So the claim of antioxidant for a lot of these other ingredients just isn't very compelling, just because in order to actually invest in that kind of research to prove it truly quenches free radicals is very high.
Yeah, so we wrote a blog post on antioxidants, and when we dive down the rabbit hole of doing research, we got like really philosophical about it.
We got really sad, actually.
Yeah, so there's not a lot of data, but if you think about it, by nature, it's a field that's hard to prove, right? Because the only way to show that, you know, it works is if nothing happens, right? You're preventing damage. So, so in that sense, it's a category that's hard to validate to begin with.
Right.
And we recommend L-ascorbic acid because it is one with a lot of data, but it also has other short-term benefits, mm-hmm. like, evening your skin tone and just
wrinkle help.
Yeah. General well-being. But other than that, the other antioxidants can get expensive really fast, yes. and it's hard to justify. But sunscreens go a long yeah. way.
And they're affordable.
Well, let's talk about sunscreen. Chemical versus mineral sunscreen. Which one is better / safer? And I realize those are two different questions for daily use.
So both are safe. But for us, what we know is it's very dependent on the user. For example, for those who struggle with sensitive skin, we actually tend to push them towards mineral. The reason why is there are certain chemical filter like solubilizers and even chemical filters themselves that sometimes can have causal irritation. That's why there's such a mixed review with chemical. But on the other hand, with mineral, there's also a con, and the con is that it, or I guess a disadvantage, and that's the texture. The texture is very hard to, I guess, for us to formulate with, and it can cause this kind of like drag and like heaviness, and that in itself can actually cause irritation as well. So it really depends on the user and whatever formula. We always tell them it's like whatever formula that's going to allow you to wear it every day happily, then that's the formula you stick with, regardless if it's chemical or mineral. And we often like to say, like, you know, look at the SPF 50s to start. But for those who do really struggle with sunscreen, we even tell them, even if you find an SPF 30, that you're happy with, like that's already, you're doing yourself like so much a huge favor by using it every day than trying to use an SPF 50 like when you feel up to it, you know.
Yeah, and we know that there's the that paper that came out a while ago with the FDA with chemical sunscreen that was a little controversial. Yeah. We just want to point out that it's a highly regulated and very serious category. Right. Because of that paper, we see a lot of like hippy dippy shops that sell their homemade hand blended
DIY
sunscreen. Don't do that. Like, skin cancer is the real enemy here. So. Right.
What about the whole thing about sunscreen, like destroying coral reefs?
Mm. Oh, that's such a good point. So with coral reefs, zinc is your best bet. Mm-hmm. And
titanium dioxide.
Yeah. But with that, it's probably more limited to when you go to the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't think there's truly a good understanding of how all of these, I guess, our general waste management is globally. So to truly understand the impact of sunscreens on the coral reef, it's hard. But so that's why we feel like, it's just if you do plan on snorkeling, we'd recommend a mineral. Yeah,
that's good to know. Here's a question for you. Is there any eye cream that actually works?
Ooh.
Okay. I feel like for us, the way it is there's probably never going to be an eye cream that's going to give you like a winning percentage. Mm-hmm. The reason is because the eye area concern just has way too many factors. It does depend on health, hydration, sleep, but at the same time, bone structure. So pairing that with actually treating eye concerns is tough. I think the only one where I'd feel like I feel confident about is the crow's feet, because that is more of a wrinkle problem. And, you know, there's retinol and retinoids, AHAs, things like that can help. But otherwise, not really.
Yeah. And a lot of eye creams really are kind of glorify moisturizers sold in a really small tub
for a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, from an ingredient perspective, again, like the formulas themselves, there isn't a set structure that says to a chemist like this is an eye cream as opposed to this is a moisturizer. What it comes down to is actives. And like Victoria mentioned, the actives that work for your eye area, a lot of it is similar to ingredients that work for other parts of your skin, like the retinols, the AHAs. Obviously, around the eye area, you want to be careful with concentration and whatnot. We're not trying to tell people to put that 1% retinol around the eye tomorrow.
Please don't do that.
But as far as paying for a little tub of eye cream, and expecting your dark circles to go away.
Weirdly enough for me, I actually, you had a follower that asked about if serums are a scam. And I feel like I'm actually more dubious of eye creams than even serums.
Yeah. And another tip is with eye creams, if you want to splurge your money for eye cream, then that's where would say definitely go for a brand that tested it. Mm. Any sort of clinical data is helpful.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got several variations on this question, and which is about cystic acne. And people just wanted to know, why does it exist and what can we do about it?
I too want to know this question. All right, cystic acne is another skin concern that is really complex. Hormones play a huge factor, and it's honestly just a lesion that starts very deep within the skin. What you should do is you should see a derm. To be honest, have a great relationship with your derm and tell them your history, and they better ask about your skincare routine. The reason why I say this is because that's the only way they will know your previous history trying to treat it. And also they will know how to insert treatments into your current routine and really help you understand like how, first of all, how your skin may react to these treatments. And then also how, you know, what the typical, breakout scenario will be. Because to be honest, I think the best mentality to go into like something like cystic acne is just know that it's a problem that probably will, you'll have to deal with for many years. I mean, I still deal with it. Gloria sees me during my most stressful times and she'll be like, oh, not a good day.
it's like she's speaking to me
with my skin. Yeah. So there are topicals out there to manage breakouts, to speed up the overall lesion time length and then the healing process. But unfortunately, the nature is that breakouts will always happen. The other thing that I do mention is if, let's say, your derm asks you to go on, oh my God, the name is escaping
Accutane?
Me. Yes, Accutane. Thank you. If your derm recommends you to go on Accutane after, you know, trying a cocktail of topicals, it's actually something that I probably would also think like, yeah, that's probably a good solution now. Back in the day when I was in high school, I was also given a chance to use Accutane. But at that time, the dosing was quite strong and there was a lot of really intimidating side effects. And so I never actually went on that, so I can't really speak in terms of experience, but both my siblings ended up going on Accutane for cystic acne and have had great results. The dosing is a lot smaller now. And so with that, that's one thing that I do recommend. Did I answer your question?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's been a constant topic of this a question from listeners constantly is cystic acne. I mean, something you deal with your whole life. It's maddening.
Right.
Here's something people have asked that I feel like we've never landed on a real answer for this. What order is honestly, in all caps, the correct way to apply your products?
We get that question a lot. For us, we have a pretty simple stance on layering order. We go from most water to least water. Mm. Reason being the top layer of your skin, the stratum corneum, it's mostly fatty dead cells. So water doesn't absorb very easily. So if you have a water-based serum or toner or treatment, it's not going to absorb very well. If you layer it after anything with oils, it's not going to get into your skin at all. Mm-hmm. So you start with your water-based stuff like toners, mm-hmm. serums, gels, and then you get into your creams and oils. Mm-hmm. And that's the general layering guide. And even if you have a serum, but if it's marketed as an oil-based serum, you definitely want it to come after your water-based products.
And do you want your face wet? Like, this is something I hear all the time. You want your face to be wet to absorb the other products? Is that right?
So there's actually, so when your face is saturated, it actually does absorb a lot better because, like I mentioned, your skin is mostly fatty. So when it's saturated in hydration, the water-based ingredients penetrate much, much better. Mm. That's why, say, after you use a sheet mask or whatnot, those actives will go better. But most of the time, it doesn't mean your face needs to be super damp. Like post-washing is fine. Like
okay.
Dripping wet.
Dripping. Yeah. It doesn't have to be dripping.
Okay.
Well, that's a relief for my sink area because often am like spritzing my face until it's dripping.
Yeah, that is really good to know. Is there any proof behind collagen, either topical or as a supplement?
All right. Proof as a topical? No. Consider if you see like hydrolyzed collagen, think of it more as more for hydration more than anything. In terms of ingestibles, we are curious. We've seen a couple clinicals out there that definitely were like, maybe if I had the budget for it, I would. They seem to see some improvements in overall skin health by ingesting, I believe, 10 grams a day. And this is using marine collagen. So we're curious, but know that it's a pretty expensive investment. And I believe they had people taking this for 12 weeks at least to really see any sort of result. Yeah.
Okay.
So just surprisingly curious, I guess.
Yeah, and I think because it's a hot field, we are excited to see more data that comes out from it. I think of the beauty shows we went to this past year, every show had a supplement or two. There are those like kind of cuckoo ones that have no data whatsoever, but
the mushroom stuff has been mystified.
Yes. But the mushroom has been blessed and it will give you beautiful skin. That we're skeptical about, but we have met a few brands with their take on collagen or collagen enhancing supplements that are trying to do their clinicals, and
very happy about.
Yeah, so with I guess this coming year, we are expecting a lot more data.
Yeah.
Are plant-based retinol alternatives as effective as the real deal?
No. I guess this question is directed towards Bakuchiol, the new plant-based alternative that's all the rage right now. Actually, as far as new ingredients go, we think it's pointing at least towards the right direction. Mm-hmm. But for what people sometimes forget is the quantity of data matter. Retinol and retinoids have been tested for decades. And Bakuchiol has maybe a handful of studies, like I would say,
and they're like small studies.
Yeah, we've seen probably two clinicals that indicate that it may have similar activity as retinol, which isn't really enough to say, oh, this is definitely a one-to-one retinol replacement. The advice we always give is for Bakuchiol, the use level is on par with the retinol, so you need to use it between 0.3 to 0.5 upwards to 1%. So again, concentration matters. Don't use products that don't disclose that information. And it's probably only if you're already comfortably and happily using a retinol, it is unnecessary to make the switch. But if you're like me and have a lot of trouble with the retinoids, then maybe it is a good alternative to try.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's switch gears and talk about you and your skincare routines and also your products, because as a person who loves products, I now want every single one of the products that you make. But could you tell us and our listeners what your own personal skincare routines are like?
Yeah, sure. I'll go first. My routine is incredibly lazy. I sometimes feel like I'm a scam because, like, you know, we give all this knowledge and then they'll ask us about like what we use. And I'm like, oh, unfortunately, because we keep traveling, like my routine is like at a min. What I currently have on my table is a cleanser, our Blank Slate. And I'm back on retinol. We just did an AHA launch, so after that I'm now back on retinol, and then I just moisturize and then sunscreen during the day. So really four products, right? That's four. Yeah, that's really all I use.
And that's crazy.
Yeah, and
I was gonna say, like, the same moisturizer morning and night, same cleanser, no need to be adding to that list, huh?
Right. And I have oily skin, so there are times where I actually don't use moisturizer during the day. Like, I'll cleanse, I'll have my the retinol treatment that I'm using right now can function as a moisturizer as well, and then having the sunscreen on top. Yeah.
Okay. What is your most popular product? I'm curious.
But hold on, we need both.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Slow down.
Okay. Hi. What's been very convenient in this partnership is that we have really different skin. Yeah. Mine is definitely dry. I get, this is not a humble brag, but I only get maybe a handful of pimples every other year. Mm-hmm. But my skin is super dry. Mm-hmm. And this is not helped by us traveling so much. So my routine is a little bit more layer heavy than Victoria. Especially when we were developing our cleanser, my drawer was like a revolving door of different cleansers we're testing at the time. And that really dried out my skin. So at that time, my staple was Aquafix, because I feel like every dry skin person really needs a hydrating serum that works for them.
That's your own, for me, that's your product, right?
That one's our product. And to me, it's a difference maker regardless of what I layer on top. And we try so many new products. So the moisturizer that follow Aquafix, sometimes it's our oil. If I'm keeping it simple, sometimes it's a new moisturizer that I'm trying out, or just different formulas that we're working on or just testing out to try to understand more. I am a big fan of AHAs, is my staple. When we travel, I'm honestly a little too lazy to use an AHA every night, but we, I do use an AHA mask, once a week or so. And during the day, I do use vitamin C.
I will say when we were doing the cleanser formula, that was like probably our worst skin phase, because we had to like try so many different formulas a day. So that was not fun.
That was not good. We washed our face and then our arms got really dry, because we're like, oh, we can't wash our face four times a day. Let's wash our arms eight times a day.
Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine what that must have been like. Well, you must sound very clean.
Occupational hazard. Yeah, a little too clean.
Well, let's talk about your products, because again, like I said, I now want them all. Mm-hmm. And you've kept it very, like, you're extremely transparent, and you've kept it very, I don't want to say simple, but like, it's very straightforward, I feel like, what you've made. So could you tell us about what that has been like, and what your products, like, you know, tell us about your products and why you believe in them?
Yeah, I mean, so I think Gori and I, our stance is the market is completely oversaturated. So it was important for us to make sure we could provide solutions that we thought were unique and really could function more as tools that you could integrate into your routine, as opposed to like a full-blown line that we're telling you to like replace your entire routine with what we have. You know, I just don't think nowadays that's going to be the case. There will always be something new that we're fascinated to try. But we want to be able to provide these like staples that you will know exactly how your skin responds to this format. And what I mean by that is, like, with the moisturizer line that we created first, we were just trying to solve the problem of like moisturizers are just that category that's just like forgotten. It's archaic that you're stuck into this mindset of, I give you three solutions. You get a dry, you get a normal, and you get an oily combo skin like solution. But you don't have any control of just how nourishing it is, just how oily skin friendly it is, you know? On top of that, it's going to vary per brand. So even if, let's say, you try to shop in the oily skin category for moisturizers, it can vary across. And so we wanted to prevent people from just like dumping their moisturizer and then chasing the next thing. So Gore and I, when we looked at the category, we were like, well, why don't we just try to create the best in class per moisturizing category. So what that means is, you have, the way we see it, there's three categories. There's your water molecules, these we call humectants. These are your hyaluronic acid, your glycerins, and all these just basically hydrators. And the second one is your emollients. These are your light oils that just kind of smooth the skin and give you that glow. And the third category are your heavy duty balms, waxes, your petrolatum, which is really going to just seal in the moisturizer, keep the water molecules from evaporating out, which is the cause of dry skin. So what we see is, like, if we give you these tools, you have basically everything you will need to adjust as your skin changes, because we got to face it, our skin's like moisturizing needs are just going to change throughout our entire life. Like post-menopause, your skin just becomes a lot drier. You go through stress, things change. You're suddenly now extremely, you have more of like combination skin. So it's just important to like provide what we see as like more boosters to really elevate your skincare routine and adjust as you need, instead of having people just like hit the reset button and feel like they have to start all over again. Hope that made sense.
Yeah, and that's kind of the philosophy we have developing our whole line.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll never see us with like 80 products out there.
Yeah.
You know, we want to continue with this idea of understanding your skin through education, understanding ingredients. Mm-hmm. So with our actives line, we just launched Baby Steps, our first acid treatment. We have a few others coming. Mm-hmm. But the idea is to give you something that's really highly concentrated and give you that option of kind of playing around with the percentage a little bit by using it as a booster.
Yeah.
And as a true booster because the concentration is there.
Right.
So you can adjust based on your skin's condition.
Right.
Oh, boy.
I feel like I could talk to both of you for another like 3 hours, but we will let you go. It has been such a pleasure talking to you. I feel like I learned so much.
Yeah. Oh. I'm going to retire my eye cream situation. Right?
Yeah.
Those questions were awesome.
Yeah. Sorry if we ramble a lot and go on tangents a lot.
We do that a lot. There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah. So interesting and informative. Well, thank you all again so much. It's chemistconfessions.com, Chemist Confessions on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yep.
We are very informed now. I don't know what else to say.
That's it.
That's it.
Thank you both.
Changed
so
our
much.
Lives. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. I've learned so much.
I have learned so much.
I just
talk about reframing the narrative.
Yeah, reframing my skin narrative or my skin brain.
Yep.
Well, it kind of aligns with my intention.
Yeah,
for
let's
2020.
Talk about it. Yeah.
Anyway, Dory.
Yes.
Last week, you did not want to stress while you were traveling.
Correct.
And how did it go?
Okay.
Which is as good as we can expect.
Exactly. And how is your dumb elbow?
It still hurts.
Wow.
But you know what? I am learning how to care for it, and I am committing to making like physical therapy a priority.
Good.
So I think that will help.
Great.
Yeah. So we'll see. It feels sometimes it's better, sometimes it's not. I bought some CBD THC lotion for it.
Okay.
I can't tell if that's working, but
okay.
You know, trying all the things.
All right.
What do you have for this first week of 2020?
Very, very simple intention. I want to go swimming.
Yeah.
My gym has a pool, which I have swum in a few times, but I recently ordered a new bathing suit and I'm excited to get back into it.
Do you have a swim cap and some goggles and all the
good
stuff?
Of course I do.
You know, I recently did this too, where I ordered a bunch of, because I swim laps at my community pool.
Mm.
Swimming feels so good.
It does.
Yeah,
it
and
does.
You are a competitive swimmer.
I was. I mean, not anymore. But I was, you know, all through high school.
You could join a swim team as an adult.
You know, I find that most master swim teams are filled with people who swam competitively in college.
That sounds intense.
And it's kind of it's a different level.
Sounds like a lot.
Yeah. Like I was okay, but I wasn't a good enough swimmer to swim in college and haven't really swum consistently for about 25 years. And it's just, I don't think it's really my vibe. And again, sort of going back to what you were saying earlier about just having hobbies for the sake
of
hobbies.
See how I just did it?
Yeah. I'm kind of like, I don't need that. I don't need to be on a team and like go to meets and stuff.
You just do stuff for the sake of doing it. It's so hard for me to shift my thinking on that.
No, I get it. It's our society.
Oh, man. Well, I want to roll into 2020 not on social media.
Yeah.
It feels so hard.
It is hard.
It's hard not sharing things. I want to do it.
I know. I get it.
So I'm just going to kind of push myself out of my comfort zone on this one this week and kind of keep it up and see how it feels. I would like to dip a toe back onto Instagram.
Okay.
I just don't know how to Instagram. You know, like Facebook and Instagram, the apps, they are not, you're not able to block them with a content blocker.
Oh.
Like I use a content blocker called Freedom.
Uh-huh.
But it does not limit your time on them. And I don't find the Apple little like your social media time is done.
Yeah, you
thing
don't find
very,
that effective.
I don't find it effective. I just like hit ignore and I dig back in.
Yeah, I know. I do the same thing.
So
I don't have a good system yet for using it, for setting good boundaries, healthy boundaries with my social media apps. So until I can set healthy boundaries, my boundary is like not happening right now.
That's fine.
So there we go.
All right.
Well, I'm happy to be into this new decade with you.
Me too.
Excited to go on this ride.
Same.
Together. Listeners, do you have intentions for 2020? Do you not? Do you want to tell us why or what they are? You can call us at 781-591-0390 or email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/forever35podcast. The password there is serums.
Hey, thanks, Facebook group mods.
Oh, yeah.
Big thanks to you for all your support and help this last year.
Yeah.
If you like the show, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. You could tell a friend. You can mention us in social media. Again, only Dory will be seeing it.
That's true.
Unless I sneak on and don't tell anybody.
Which you sometimes do.
I do. I always fess up.
You do. And a reminder that all the products we mention on the show are always on our website, forever35podcast.com. You can also follow us on Instagram, where Kate will not be checking, at forever35podcast, and on Twitter, at forever35pod.
But you can find me here at Forever 35 because it is hosted and produced by Dory Shafrir and by me, Kate Spencer, and produced and edited by Sammy Unio. Thank you all.
Happy New Year.
Woohoo.